The title of my message tonight, The Father Truly Loves You. Now, this is going to be a two-part sermon, man. I just pray I don't get so wild and hung up on it that I just can't get my job done. Because I told Robert, I said, man, I've rewritten this thing probably 10 times. Now, I almost thought I was something that ought to just set your wood on fire. If it ain't, it must be wet. The greatest thing God wants from you is you. It's the greatest thing He wants. He doesn't want your title. Doesn't want your checking account. Doesn't want your DNA. Doesn't care about your pedigree. All He cares about is you. Out of all the things a self-sufficient God could desire, He solely desires your fellowship. He wants to be with you. He wants to hang with you. But you're too busy. You're consumed with the cares of the world. You're consumed with the tests and trials of life. You don't have time to fellowship with Him. In fact, He has waited for over 4,000 years for your fellowship. He desires not only fellowship from the congregation, but He desires a capital O one-on-one relationship with you now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Now. This is why when you walk into this room on Thursday night, we're giving God praise. We're giving Him praise. Praying in the Spirit is praise. Private worship is praise. We're giving God praise. From the inner sanctuary of our own heart, we're giving Him praise. But God wants a one-on-one relationship with you while you are still on the earth. Bless God.
Yes.
Amen.
And that relationship, that worship, is His greatest pleasure. And it will also be His greatest pleasure when you get to heaven. Don't tell me how busy you are. The God of the universe is pleading with you. Step apart, pull apart, come aside, and spend time with me now. It's what He wants. God earnestly anticipates the day. Now get this. This just broke my heart when He told me this. When you will crawl up into His lap and begin that one-on-one relationship with Him while you are wearing a body, even the one that Adam gave you. I have a word for you. You came to this place looking for me. You found me. When you leave this place, take me with you, saith God. While the world is spiraling further and further away from Him into a dark hole called death, He has provided a means that we can get closer and closer and closer and closer to Him in the midst while we're wearing this body that we received from our fallen father, Adam. He has provided us the means to cross the divide of our flesh. The divide that our flesh creates and become intimate with Him. And to know Him in a way that the Old Testament saints only yearned for. They couldn't know Him the way we do. This is why I will always caution you, be careful about studying in the Old Testament how they worship God. Because they couldn't worship God the way He wanted them to. He could only worship them to a certain degree. Sure, He received their blood offerings. Sure, He received their animal sacrifice. But what He wanted more than anything else was for them to lift up their hands and tell Him how much they loved Him. But they didn't have a heart to do that. They didn't have a nature to do that. And He's given you that nature.
Hallelujah.
Now He wants to create a fellowship with us now that will last throughout eternity.
Yeah.
That is to say, He wants to become all to us that he is now and will be in eternity. Yes. See, when you get to heaven, God doesn't want to go, psst, come here. You could have gotten this from me, and you could have gotten that from me, and this is in me, and this was in me. No, he wants you to know all that stuff now.
Amen.
And if you haven't been taught that, well, then you're going to the wrong church. You're going to the wrong place. He wants to reveal himself in such a way that you'll turn your back on the world. Now, you won't turn your back on the people in the world, but you'll turn your back on the things of the world. He wants you here to be in the way of people that are trying to get to hell. He wants you to stand in their way, not so far as fight them, but to say, listen, you don't have to go that way. There's a better way. You just haven't known him in a way that will change your heart.
Yes. That's good.
Even though his grace has put you in fellowship with him, your grace does not replace the fellowship that you should have with him. Grace will never replace that. You cannot worship God by grace. The grace provided the worship for you, but you must open up your mouth. You must spend the time, and you must take the time and begin to give him praise. Why? He desires your fellowship. Now listen to this. Well, when I heard this from him, it shocked me. He desires your fellowship so much so that you can become what he is. Oh, you missed a good place.
Amen.
Who is he? He's love. He wants you to become love. He is joy. He is long-suffering. He is goodness. He is all those things. And that's what he wants you to become. When people say, I love God, I'm in love with God. But when the test and the trial comes and they fall apart like a cheap watch, who you loving? What kind of love you got? You see, like she said, man, when you can just go to a doctor confidently, not going, I believe I got a good report. I believe I got a good report. There's no faith in that. But what she said was, I believe I'm healed. I believe everything is all right. See, that's a confidence that you get by spending time with him.
Amen.
He wants, do you realize you serve a confident God? Amen. He's confident in his abilities. He's confident in anything he does. He's confident. It exudes him. It goes before him. He's not ashamed of himself. And you won't either. You won't either. But he wants you to become what he is. In every area of your life, he wants you to become that.
Amen.
Woo! I told you this was going to rock your world. He longs for your fellowship more than you desire for him to make you into a great person. God is not concerned about how great you'll be. God's not trying to make you anything. What God is trying to do is for you to understand who he has made you to be. God's not trying to make you a great person so he can give you a huge reward. That's not his motivation at all. The rewards are available solely because you are attempting to get people redeemed that he loves. Like, listen, listen, listen. All he wants is you. Why? Because he truly loves you. He loves you. Now, here's the problem with us human beings. We've got so much flesh, and we've got this carnality about what love truly is. We don't understand what love truly is. Love is not some ooey-gooey feeling. Love is a force. Love is a power. God loves you. Let's talk about his love for us. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. There is absolutely nothing you can do that would cause God to love you any more than he does right now. Absolutely nothing. 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 He loves you as much now as he will love you in heaven. Well, now, I'm really going to stretch you big on that. He loves you as much now as he did before you were born again. See, that stretches your flesh. That makes your flesh go, what? That's his unconditional love for you. And the reason we never understood that is because we've been so wrapped up in the flesh. The flesh has been putting this divide between us. Can I illustrate to you what your flesh is? I don't have time to pray. I don't feel like praying. I don't think you have to pray that much. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. Full front. Well, Pastor, you don't understand what kind of situation I'm in. Now, you're going to call me one night when all 18 double hockey stick is breaking loose, and I'm going to know what's going on, and I'm going to tell you these words. Why haven't you been giving him praise lately? Because when you give him praise, you can face the all HEL hockey sticks breaking loose in your life, and you'll go, I know my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
I know he loves me. And he's not going to allow me to be diminished. He's going to give me everything that I need. And I'm walking into heaven with everything intact because he loves me.
Yes.
Now, why don't you know how much he loves you? Well, number one, you have a flesh. Number two, you don't commune with him. You don't commune with him. You don't spend time with him. You spend time on Facebook. You spend time on Instagram. You spend time on the internet. You spend time on the telephone. But you don't spend time with him. If you spent time with him, you'd walk by a sinner, and that sinner would go, my God, who are you? You convict me of my sin. Who are you? I'm a child of God. You need to get born again. That love would just come out of you in such a way that demons would go, I want no part of him or her. That's the kind of love that he has for us.
Right.
You can't give him a love you anymore. But listen to this. You can go to the place where his love is. Now, how many of you have ever quoted Psalms 91? He that dwells in the secret place. How many ever found that secret place? How many of you know where it is? Where is the secret place?
The
that's
Spirit.
Where he lives. Well, that's where that love is. It's right there. And it's waiting for you. And if you'll learn to dwell there. So now everybody that I see reading Psalm 91 ain't necessarily dwelling in that place of love. Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. You talk about I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my God, in him will I trust. Woo, look at that big bill I came in the mail. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, what am I going to do? Woo, you know I ain't got that kind of money, Lord. I'm on a fixed income. Oh, what am I going to do? I thought you said you dwell in the secret place. That's where that love is. Oh, don't shout me down now. Don't shout me down now. I know it's gift stepping on some toes, but that's all right. We believe in divine healing. Boy, lay hands on them, and you'll be healed. Come on now. His love was fully manifested when he gave his only begotten son. But we can receive more of his love. We can receive more of his love than we're receiving right now. I want to challenge you tonight to quit being satisfied with the way you think God loves you and step it on up a notch. Man, I want all the love that God has. I want to love God so much that when you talk to me, all you hear coming out of me is love of God. Now, that does not mean the devil's not going to try to knock me off of my Never mind, was that high horse? But this means I'm going to attack. But it means I can counterattack in that love. Amen?
Amen.
He will call us to do many things for him. But none of these things will make us love him any more than he does right now. Because of his love for you, he looks past, now get this, he looks past your bloodline. He looks past your wealth. He looks past your titles. He looks past your DNA and anything else that could be classified as a work of the flesh. Hello, African Americans. He ain't worried about your background. Hello, Ancestry. What's that thing called? Ancestry.com. God don't give a rip about your ancestry. And may I tell you something? You don't want to know. You got nuts on your tree like I got nuts on my tree. We all got some knuckleheads on our trees. All right? Now, I'm not criticizing anybody here. What I'm saying is it makes no... Why do you... Listen, the only thing God cares about when you come to him is you. And what condition your heart is in. And how much you need him. And for you to begin to start receiving his love. And that's why every time we start this service, we demonstrate how to love on God. I love you, sir. I magnify you. Oh, I love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul. I love you with everything that's within me. I love you. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. And you may think, well, doesn't he kind of get a little annoyed with you saying the same? Listen, get in there and find out for yourself.
Amen.
My confession is this. You ever see a little kid? You'll do something and they'll say, do it again. And you do it again. That's how God is. You get to worship him. He says, you say, Father, I love you. He said, say it again. I love you, Father. Say it again. It'll go on all night long. I'm serious. It'll go on all night long. Finally, you say, listen, I'm going to sleep. That's what I do. I fall asleep worshiping him. I walked upstairs this afternoon, man. Laid down there, wanted to watch some gun smoke. Turned off gun smoke and started worshiping the Father. All right. Fell asleep worshiping him. See, I love to worship him. It's not a chore for me to worship him. It's a natural thing for me to just come in. Why? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of everything this world has to offer. I'm tired of headaches. I'm tired of asthma. I'm tired of achy bones. See, when you get my your bones going to ache.
Yep.
I have seen so many things get reversed in my body just because I spend time with him. And when I realize those kinds of things, guess what? I can't wait to get back in there. I'd rather be in there worshiping him right now than spending time with you. But I'm on assignment. I'm on assignment. Okay? We got things to do. He wants us to do certain things. But God's not concerned about anything else. There isn't anything you can do to cause him to love you anymore. The fullness of his love was manifested when he laid all of your sins, sicknesses, and diseases on Jesus at the cross. He even took all of the judgments that the Father had to pour out on you so that you could be free. There's no judgment that can be poured out against you now. There's no condemning sentence that can be carried out against you. Alzheimer cannot be carried out against you.
Free.
The cancer cannot be carried out against you.
Glory to God.
And if you're going through any of that right now, if you'll just simply shut your world off and find you a place to get quiet with him and begin to tell him how much you love him and how much he means to you, I promise you Alzheimer's will get. Now, folks, I'm serious about this. I've tried it, and it works. I'm walking in it right now. When things are going on in the world, I don't have any fears. Why? I don't care what kind of new car that comes out. I don't care what kind of new gadget that you may get. Those things are wonderful to me. But you know what? Spending time with him surpasses all of that. Mm-hmm. And if you could learn how to spend time with him too, you would lay your gadgets down. The only reason why you got them gadgets is because you don't want to get bored with life. Don't shout it down now. You don't want to get bored. You got to have that TV on. You got to have something in your ear. You got to be able to distract yourself. Yeah. The only reason why I want something in my ear is when I can hear somebody preaching on worship. Amen. Or when I can hear my girl Sinatra sing about worship. Man, I love that woman singing about worship. Woo! There's just not very many worship people that can, like Loranda can, there's not many people that can worship from the heart like that. Man, this woman is full of love, full of grace, and she worships him. She knows how to worship him out of her spirit. We can't get him to love us any more now than he will in eternity. But we can go where his love is. There is nothing we can do, absolutely nothing we can do. I want you to get this point. That will cause him to love you more. The moment you came to him and start receiving his love, when you come to him and you begin to worship him and you begin to praise him, is the very day that your works will cease.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to say something here, and I'm not targeting at anybody, period. But just because you go through some things and do some things that you call spiritual doesn't mean God is any closer to you than he always is. Okay?
Amen.
I know people that walk the aisle every Sunday. Boy, I want to pull them and say, come here, come here. If you'll spend some time with me, you'll never walk the aisle again. Because you're walking the kingdom of, you're walking to the throne of God, and you go, hello, King. Hello, Dad. You'll never be fearful about you doing something wrong ever again. You'll know your sins have been washed once and for all. Did you know that God is not in heaven? He's not in your heart? He's not taking account of how many wrongs that you do? It doesn't bother him. You know what he's trying to figure out? He's trying to find a way he can get you to walk closer and closer and closer and closer to him. That's all he's doing right now. And listen, even if you're somebody like, does everybody know who Carlton Pearson is? You don't know who Carlton Pearson is? Carlton Pearson you know who Oral Roberts is? Was. Oral Roberts personally mentored or discipled Carlton. And Carlton left ORU and started a big church, and it was a fast-growing mega church, really, in Tulsa. Well, one day Carlton, because he's a very smart fellow, he's got a high IQ. But ladies and gentlemen, let me caution you. Be careful with your high IQs. I know many in this room, you're smart. You have degrees. You carry a lot of weight in the world. But listen, your high IQ, it'll begin to reason the gospel out. And one day Carlton reasoned, listen, if God loves us, if God really, 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 really loves us, then how could he send us to hell? So therefore, nobody's going to hell. In fact, God will owe, this is Carlton now, God's going to owe Satan a big apology. Straight from the pit of hell. See, this is why praying in the Spirit is so important. It's a revelation gift. So when you begin to receive these ideas from the world, the Spirit of God can go, stop right there at the door. You ain't going no further. Lie, 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 lie. This is why I have turned off Christian television. I don't watch it anymore. I used to turn it on. And if you want to, you go right ahead. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying when I watch it every night and I'll go, man, that guy was good. Now, I'm not talking about the Copelands and the Savelles. I'm talking about those other strings, especially the new people that are out there. And they'll say something, I'm going, my spirit goes, wrong, wrong. Wrong? But after I get about four or five wrong, they go click.
That's right.
See, I believe in that old saying, eat the hay and spit out the sticks. But listen, My father, don't know about you, but my father, when he feeds me, he don't give me sticks.
Amen.
He don't give me any sticks, man. He gives me nothing but foliage. Come on, somebody. He gives me good stuff. He doesn't cause me to eat the sticks. That why? He's a good God. He's my heavenly Father. Amen. But when you begin to worship God, everything you do as a work is going to begin to stand out. You're going to begin to realize, I'm only doing this just to get graces or get brownie points with God. And you can't. You don't get brownie points with God. He loves you already. There's nothing else to gain. He loves you. You just got to learn how to receive His love. The problem with most Christians, now you may think, well, you're just putting everybody in one big basket. Well, yes, I am. But the problem with most Christians that I see, they don't understand how much God loves them. If they can ever get a revelation of how God loves them, how much He loves them, their problems would cease. Well, here's the problem that I have with that. You will never know how much God loves you until you spend time with Him. Let's say a guy sees a beautiful woman and goes, man, look at that fox. Yeah, what they call it now, fox. What they call it now? Look at that smoking woman. And he can say that for 10 years. And if she never knows it, he never knows, she never knows what how he feels about her. See, God has been running around the earth for 6,000 years. And he's been shouting, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And you're falling apart in your problems. You allow a doctor to give you some kind of diagnosis and you fall apart like a cheap watch. You allow your job to give you a pink slip and you fall apart like a cheap watch. I appreciate your testimony last week. That's how we need to act. When the world says it's time to go, we don't go kicking and screaming. We go, glory to God. He's got something better for me.
Amen.
I'm headed that way right now. Amen. I'm not going to cry over this thing. No. Why? Because God loves me.
Yes.
Now the only reason why you wrestle with that, the only reason why you have a problem with that, if you're having a problem with that, it's because you haven't spent time with Him. That's what I mean by taking with you. I don't mean put Him in the Bible and take Him with you. I mean put Him in your heart, and every day when you're driving back to Wichita, talk to Him. Talk to Him like He's sitting in the front seat. Talk to Him like He's in the steering wheel. Talk to Him. I love you. I worship you. Look at them trees. Oh, glory to God. I give you praise with them trees. Hallelujah. I give you praise for getting back to Wichita sound and without any kind of danger or any kind of problem. Glory to God. I love you. But when something happens, get out your car, look at your flat tire and go, glory to God.
Amen.
I give you praise.
Amen.
Now let me ask you a question. You may think, well, you're a little senile. But let me ask you a question. Better is a creep that prays than a creep that don't pray. Better to pray in your testing and your trials and not to pray. And if I give this message a little bit longer, I'm going to have you running in this place with me. See? There's a way you face your trial. Well, it may not be tonight. Maybe next week. Come back to part two. Amen. But there's a way you can face your testing and your trial. You don't face them the way the world faces them. There's a way you can engage tribulation to engage the patience of God on the inside of you. And the kind of patience I'm talking about is not the patience that says, I'm holding on.
No.
I'm holding on, God. I'm holding on. I believe I'm healed. And you die anyway. It's not the kind of patience I'm talking about. The kind of patience I'm going to talk about next week is the kind of patience that you allow your tribulations to set in motion. Did you hear what I said? You allow your tribulations to set in motion. So you think I'm talking off the cuff here. I'm right on point. And the way I do that, in the midst of my trials, I begin to give praise. And my tribulation begins to work patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope, make it not ashamed. Because the love of God, the love of God. We're going to go through that whole book of Romans chapter 5 next week. And I'm going to show you how much God loves you. Period. X in the story. Nothing else to say. Let me go on here. High worship bridge brings you into your, brings your miracle into range. Into range. The Father desires to bring miracles to pass in our lives. The way you sang tonight. And worship will bring your miracle within range. For he withholds no good thing to them that love you. Did you hear that? Worship brings your miracle to pass. Next week, when I have time, I'm going to tell you about a lady named Mary Baxter. How many of you ever heard her testimony? Oh, man. Mary Baxter was born with a twisted spine. Her vertebrae and all of her bones were just knotted together. Her nervous system was basically non-existent. She had knots all up and down her back. She sat in a wheelchair. Her mouth was set to this one side. And when they stood her up, she was at 11 years old. She was 4.5 feet tall. Her little brother, who was 5 or 6 years old, was taller than she was. But every day, her mother walked the floor and said, I give you praise. I worship you. Now, she was in a Nazarene church. Now, this happened back in the 40s when the word of faith message wasn't really out. It wasn't really in full force as it is today. But she found a place. Every doctor that they took her to told Mary Baxter, told her parents, she's going to die at an early age. When she heard that, Mary Baxter's heart dropped. But her mother walked in and she said, baby, why are you crying? She said, Mom, didn't you hear what the doctor told Daddy? She goes, yes, I did. She said, well, Mama, why aren't you sad? Because I talked to somebody else. Here was Mary Baxter. What's his name, Mama? You know what she said? His name is Jesus. She says, but what about what Pastor so-and-so said? Pastor so-and-so didn't read the verse that says all things are possible to him that
day. Wow. Amen.
I wonder what would happen if we would begin to worship God like Mary Baxter's mother. Just worship God like that. The Bible said, Mary, her mother said one day she walked into the room and Mary was sitting in her chair and a dime-sized light came in the room and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And Mary was looking at it and her mother was looking at it. And the thing got bigger and then Jesus just walked out. She said that Mary, in her chair, she was trying to touch Jesus. To touch him. And her mother started and said, Jesus, move a little closer. So she said, Jesus stopped in his tracks and looked back at her and said, you're the very reason why I'm here. Yeah. Jesus walked up to her and grabbed her about the waist and every organ in her body went back in the place. She couldn't eat. She couldn't drink. She couldn't keep anything down because all of her internal organs were just messed up. And he grabbed her around the waist area and every internal organ just went back into place. But now you know. And he began to minister to her. He laid his hands on her. And her mother said, Mary's testimony is, every bone in her body began to pop. Wow. Crack! Her neck shook round straight. Her mouth came back to the middle. Her spine straightened up. Wow. Her legs grew out. And next thing she knew, she was lifting her hands up, worshiping God like this. Her mama said, baby, several months ago, says, baby, you're going to walk. I'm going to buy you a dress and buy you some shoes. Her mama had to measure her little feet by her hand to see what kind of size shoes she had. She measured the best she could when she stretched her out to try to see what size dress is this child wearing. When Mary got healed, she stood up. And the first thing she says, get me my dress and bring me my shoes. She marched downstairs to her unbelieving daddy and said, Dad, you were wrong. And all he could do was just put his head in his hand and begin to sob. Just cried. Now, remember, her daddy took her to the best doctors. He spent money he didn't have. He was in debt because of this child. But he decided to tell her, for the pastor, don't get this child hope up anymore, because she's not going to live. She's going to die. And boy, Mary was, when before Jesus came, she was like, Jesus, why don't, please get over it. Now, how many of you know that ain't how you talk to the king? You don't talk to him like that. You don't talk to him like that. He knows. He understands where you are. But the way you talk to him is, I believe. I believe you.
Amen.
When all that healing went place, the first thing she did, Mama, take me down to the church. She went down to the church and told the pastor. The pastor's jaw fell down. He didn't know what to do. His jaw dropped. They put her on display in that town so that everybody could see what God had just done. Just because a woman began to give God praise and begin to give him glory. Just because. Put everything aside. He said, I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to worship him. And the problem is, we can't get enough of you. Well, I was just enough of you, but we can't get enough of church to be still long enough to give God that kind of praise. We're concerned about missing our favorite TV program. But he loves you. What he did for Mary, he'll do for you. Amen. He's not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
Let me see if I can get some more of this before next week. But worship brings your miracles into range. Any desires that are based on the flesh will soon give away to his desires. When he becomes the fullness of spirit and fellowship with him, when we come into the fullness of spirit and fellowship with him, out of our nature has been made a partaker of him, we will realize the things of the flesh are not what we want at all. I want to be rich so I can live in a big house. No longer my desire. No longer my desire. There's a world out there that I'm adamant about. I'm passionate about. Let's go win them to Jesus. Yeah. Let's go get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go get them full of God. Let's begin to show them how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's change our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Let's change our families. Let's change our nation. Let's change these things. Let's go out to Planned Parenthood, and instead of carrying a sign, let's just go out there by the front door and go, we give you praise.
Yes.
We give you glory. Yes. We give you honor. Amen. We magnify you. We bless your name.
Yes. Yes.
You want to change somebody's heart? Begin to bring God on the scene, and you'll watch all them doctors run out there like a You think I'm playing?
No.
That's what we should be doing. Anyone that comes to him in the magnification of a new nature and revelation of him by the spirit of worship will no longer desire the things of the world. See, my desire is to go to a place like MD Anderson Hospital and stand downstairs. You ain't got to go up in the corner. Just stand downstairs and begin to worship God. Begin to praise God. Magnify him on the sidewalk. And watch devils and demons just run out the place. Why? Because you'll praise. As we continue in practicing his presence, more mortification. See, the thing that keeps you from God is your flesh. It's your flesh that keeps you from experiencing more and more God. And when that happens, you'll no longer need to tolerate the obstacles and the mountains that are in your lives, because as you go closer and closer to him in worship, these things will be renewed.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about getting them out of the way. They'll fall to the wayside. It's your flesh that's been giving them life anyway. Actually, as you get closer and closer to him, it's the flesh that begins to fade away in his presence. The flesh is the very thing that separates you. Now, I'm going to hit this last portion real fast. So listen up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5. And this is when Paul, of such a one I'll glory, yet not of myself will I not glory, but in my own infirmities. Go ahead. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. But I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he has seen me to be, or that he heareth of me. Verse 7. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord 3 times. That's the Apostle Paul. He sought God 3 times. What I want to get across here, he didn't get it the first time. He didn't get it the second time. But on the third time he went, oh, that it might depart from me. Now watch what God told him. And he, who's the he? Jesus said. In my Bible, this is in red. You'll see very few red letters in the New Testament, starting with the epistles. Here's one of them. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what?
Weakness.
My strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Anybody in here weak? You going through something? You feel like I can't go any further? Watch what this boy did. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Now, wait a minute. He didn't say, glory to God, I just got me a brand new S550 pearl white Mercedes Benz. That ain't why he's worshiping God. He's worshiping God in the midst of his circumstances. Here's how I would say it. All H-E double hockey stick has broken out in this boy's life. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Go ahead. Therefore, I take pleasure. I take pleasure. What does pleasure mean in the Greek? Pleasure. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in... How many is being persecuted tonight? How many of you got somebody that don't like you? Hates you because you go to that tongue-talking, spirit-filled Bible study? How many don't like you because you walk around and you don't have a care in the world? They just think you're just too good for your own good. Huh? See, I take pleasure when people like that don't like me. I take pleasure in it. Why? In distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You ain't gonna wear me out, brother. You ain't wearing me out, sister. You ain't pulling me down with you. Why? Because I don't take that stuff on. Next verse. I have become a what?
Ooh.
I've become a fool and glorified. You have compelled me, for I to have been commended of you, that nothing am I behind the very chief of the apostles, though I be nothing. And here's what Paul was saying. Man, this thing is on top of me, God. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. If you don't show up, I might be homeless. If you don't show up, I might get divorced. If you don't show up, I might die. You got to show up now, God. So how do you get God to show up in those kinds of situations? Huh? Do you write him a check? Do you beg him to come and heal your feeble body? How do you get God to come, church?
Praise him.
Giving him praise. And somehow, as I'm giving God praise, the dependency I would have in my natural person, I no longer am dependent upon Elvin Craig, But there's a God-like person that looks just like Elvin Craig on the inside.
Right.
He's on the inside.
Amen.
And he begins to stand up with the power of God. He talks like me. He acts like me. He even looks like me. But he's not weak like I am in my flesh.
Right.
And he begins to stand up, that thing. And he begins to give God praise and give God glory and give God honor. And he settles down in that quiet place. And the devil goes, aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid you're going to lose everything? And that person goes, therefore will I more glory.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of my losing.
Amen,
his.
Brother.
You know why? Because I'm in his hands.
Thank you, God.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Praise
Glory
your name.
To God. Now, how did we get there? Praise and worship. Now, I heard somebody say this in your heart. Yeah, but my circumstances is too far gone. Lie from the pale. You ain't that far gone. If you're still breathing on the earth, you ain't that far gone. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to let that little voice talk you out of private worship. How many of you want a shortcut? How many of you want a shortcut?
Yeah.
Huh? Huh?
Yeah.
How many of you have been waiting on God for a long time? How many of you have been asking God for something and it's never manifested for $19. Happy process. Come on, somebody. Seriously. Worship brings your miracles into range. There's something about when you begin to worship God. Okay, now, I'm going to go to the Old Testament first. The Hebrew children, they march around that little building. They march on this little wall. Huh? What do you think that was all about? They didn't say nothing until the seventh day. And they all shouted. I can imagine what they shouted. They shouted unto God. And what happened to that wall? That was an example of the power that you have on the inside. It's the power you got on the inside. But you gotta learn how to release it. You gotta learn how to work with it. You gotta understand it's within, it's for you. He's not holding it back. But you gotta know how much he loves you.
Right.
Well, how do I do that, Pastor Craig? Oh, that's easy, baby. Turn off your television. Get off Instagram. Put your phone down. Okay? Turn off Facebook. Find you a comfortable place. Get real comfortable. Get your favorite drink. Sit it down there. Just say these simple words. Father, I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify you. Now, for the first several times, here's what your flesh is going to say. You think he's listening to you? He ain't listening to you. You. Why would he listen to you? Who do you think that you are? You think you're somebody special? Your flesh is going to give you all those reasons. And if you listen to them, I almost said stuff I didn't want to say. Unless you say it like this, you're being foolish. Why? The times you struggle the hardest with worship is the time that he's listening to you. But Pastor, I only need him 5 minutes. You had his attention for 5 minutes. Next time, make it 10.
Amen.
Listen, he'll be there to encourage you and to encourage you and to encourage you. And one day, he'll show up for a few moments and he'll back off. But why is he back off? Because he doesn't want you to get comfortable with just him coming and you worshiping him because he comes. He wants you to worship him because you're worshiping him.
Amen.
He wants you to know he's there. He wants you to understand he's there. You don't have to feel him. Just know he's there. Now, when you do that, make sure you acknowledge him. Father, I love you. Father, I give you praise. Now, if when your mind starts to wander on a problem, you ain't that thing about to say, you're gonna respect this king. You're gonna keep your attention on him. And for a while, many of your minds are gonna do that. I used to have to pray in tongues for a while before I could worship God. Why? Settle my mind down. This is the rest whereby the weary shall be rested with stammering lips and with a new tongue will I speak to these people. So I pray in tongues to settle myself down, get my mind quieted. Now I can worship him. I'm going to tell my wife now. Every night she turns on Curry Blake. She don't turn it on just a little bit. She cranks that sucker up, man. Now I go to bed about 10 o'clock. She goes to bed around 12, 30, 1 o'clock. So I'm sitting over there. And then I hear, what one of his neighbors say? Uh-huh. He starts to preach it like he can preach. And it gets so good, guess what? I wake up and I'm listening to it. But I found something that I can do now. I just say, praise God, that's a good preacher. Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I magnify your name. I glorify your name. That thing is going on. But man, I'm connecting with God. I'm giving him praise. I'm giving him glory. All of a sudden, I know it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Time to get up.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Private worship. I wonder why this isn't taught at more places. Why? It's the greatest secret I've ever found. Thank God for Dave Roberson that talked to me. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll be quite frank with you. It took me about 2 or 3 years to break into worship. But when I did, I come around. And so what I'm telling you is this. The road that I've traveled, you don't have to go that way. Just know your flesh is going to fight you. Just know it can't stop you. Your flesh has no power over your spirit. It does not have enough power. It can't make you sin. It can't keep you out of prayer. It can't keep you out of worship. All it's trying to do is to tell you, I'm still in control. But it's not. Glory to God. Father, yes. We give you praise tonight.
Yes.
We thank you that our miracles are within range. We're going to spend time giving you praise this week. Whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 15 minutes, whether it's a half hour or an hour, we're going to give you praise.
Yes, God.
Now, I'm going to stop praying. I want to pray this way. Father, I lift up John Mosley. I bind the spirit of infirmity in his body now. I command this thing to go from him and never return.
Yes, Father.
I declare next week he'll be here, healed and made whole in the name of Jesus.
Yes, in the name.
Without any symptoms at all, in Jesus' name.
Sickness, go.
And what I want you to do this week is that as you begin to worship God, say, Father, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. You're not a man that you can lie. You exalted your word above your own name. Heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will never fail. Therefore, I say, John Mosley is healed.
Amen.
Watch what happens.
Amen.
Glory to see, church, that's the way we got to learn how to pray.
Amen.
Pray in his presence like that. And the power of the, there's no distance or time in the realm of the Spirit. None at all. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I hope you got something out of all that.